Today we're going to begin a new series entitled Noteworthy Verses in the Holy Bible. Noteworthy Verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that stand out. We will begin in Genesis and go through the book of Revelation. And what I'll do in this study is I will briefly comment on each verse that's covered. And remember, this study is in no way exhaustive in scope. And you, in fact, you may have some of your own that you might like to share with me. And if you do, please send them to me at the address given at the end of the broadcast. Let's begin. First of all, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of God says this: In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I just want to point one thing out before I give my comment on this verse. The King James Bible is the only English translation that has God created the heaven. And all the other perversions, all the other English translations, it is heavens, plural. So if you pick up another translation, another Bible, and you see that, then you know that it's one of the devil's Bibles. Amen. Now, Genesis 1:1. Notice with me how God's first sentence declares that atheism, pantheism, polytheism, fatalism, materialism, in evolution are all dead wrong. You see, my dear listener, it is taken for granted that God exists, that he is one God, as opposed to gods or the gods, that he had a specific plan of creation, that he is personally involved with creation. If you'll read verses 1 to 31 in Genesis chapter 1, that he created all matter, and that all of this happened suddenly, rather than ever evolving over billions of years. So Genesis 1:1 really shoots holes into the world's belief system. Amen. Now let's move on to Genesis chapter 1, verse 13. In the evening and the morning were the third day. Well, what I want to point out here is this. This is the first verse in the Bible that doesn't mention God. And it just happens to be verse 13, which the number 13 in the Bible is the number of rebellion. Let me give you another reference in Genesis that we see rebellion with connected with the number 13. And that would be in Genesis chapter 14, verse 4. Genesis 14, verse 4. Now let's move on to Genesis chapter 1. In verse number 16, the words of God say this: And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and of course that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon. And he made the stars also. What I want us to see about this verse, the greater and lesser lights, of course, are the sun and the moon, which picture Christ in the church. Consequently, both Christ in the church are called the light of the world. Let me give you a couple of cross-references that show this. First of all, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, You'll see how the church is called the light of the world, the believer is the light of the world. And then in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus refers to himself as the light of the world. Now, the church age, or the church, rules spiritually during the present church age, which is referred to as the night. And you can see that in Luke chapter 12, in verse 38. And Christ will rule during the millennium, which is the day we see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, after he returns. Amen. Now let's move on to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And the word of God says this: And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Here we have, I want us to notice, here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, the first mention of life involves water, explaining why physical birth is a water birth. And again, in conjunction with this, let me give you some cross references that back this up. John chapter 3, verse 5, John 3, 5, and then Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. Proverbs 5, verses 15 through 18. Isaiah 48, verse 1. Isaiah 48, verse 1. So we see then, to be born of water has nothing to do with baptism. Amen. Now let's move on to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 with me in verse 26. And the word of God says this: And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What we want to see here with this verse, Genesis 1:26, is man was originally made in God's image. But he lost that image only two chapters afterwards when he became a sinner. So, no one today is born in God's image. Amen. It is only after being born again in Christ that one has God's image. Let me give you some cross references that you can look up at your own time. Amen. Colossians 3:10, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Hebrews 1, 3, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Now let's move on to Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 2. We read there, it says, And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, what stands out here is in this verse is the chapter division separates the seventh day of rest from the 6 days of creation, matching perfectly God's 7,000-year plan when Christ ruled in the seventh millennium and is separated from the preceding 6,000 years of human dominion. Remember, one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. Amen. So we see then human dominion is for 6,000 years. Then we have the rest, the millennial reign of Christ, the seventh 1,000 year. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, 7 with me. Chapter 2, Genesis 2, verse 7, the Word of God says this: "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So what we want to see here, what stands out in this verse? This verse shows us that man is a three-part being: a spirit, a soul, and a body. I want us to turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, notice what the Word of God says here: "In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then look with me in the first epistle of John in chapter 5 in verse 7. 1 John 5, 7, we read this: "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word," that's Christ, "and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So we see then that man is a three-part being, a spirit, a soul, and a body, corresponding to the fact that God is a Trinity. Amen. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 with me in verse 16. Genesis 2:16, the Word of God says this: "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Now, notice how the word "freely" is used in reference to eating of the trees of the garden, including the tree of life. Now, this pictures the fact that salvation is a free gift. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 5 with me for a moment. We want to go to Romans 5. And when we get to Romans 5, I want us to look at verses 15 through 18. The Word of God says this: "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Amen. Verse 17: "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And then we see also that Eve conveniently omits the word "freely" while conversing with the devil in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. So men omit the word today when speaking of salvation. Amen. We see then that salvation is freely given. by faith through the grace of God. But all other religions today except Bible Christianity teaches that it's not given freely. There's something, there's a condition, there's something that man has to do in order to make himself right with God. And of course, we know the Bible shows us that that's pure heresy, that's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ can one be saved. But thankfully, the word is not omitted in Revelation chapter 22 in verse 17, which says this. Revelation 22 verse 17, and the word of God says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 1. Genesis 3 verse 1. The word of God says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice, the first thing Satan says in the Bible, the word yea, is positive. And the Bible tells us it is through good words and fair speeches that he continues his deception to this day. You see, my dear listener, the power of positive thinking can get you into a lot of trouble. Isn't that the truth? Amen and amen to that. Now, let us turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 with me in verse number 7, the word of God says this. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What I want us to see here, what stands out in this verse is the fig leaves. Generally, the fig leaves picture man's salvation. Doctrinally, however, the fig leaves point to Israel's self-righteousness. And let me give you some cross-references that support this. First one is in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 32. Matthew 24, 32. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. Mark 11, 12 to 14. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Romans 10, 3. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. The word of God says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? So, here we have God asking Adam, where art thou? Is most interesting, is it not? Because the Lord obviously knew where Adam was. So the question is being asked, I believe, for Adam's instruction, not for the Lord's information. You see, Adam was now in sin, and he needed to face it. Just as billions today need to face the fact that they're in sin, they're lost, and on their way to hell. Amen. Now let's look in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 15, the word of God says this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, What stands out in this verse is this is the first messianic promise in the Bible. The first promise that God would send a redeemer to overthrow the work and kingdom of Satan. It is also a promise of the virgin birth, since this verse says, her seed. You see, my dear listener, a woman has no seed unless God gives her one, which he did with Mary. And we see that, I'll give you a cross-reference in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Now let's move on to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And the Word of God says this: And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So what we see here, my dear listener, what stands out here in this verse is we see the ground is under a curse. A curse that will remain in effect until Jesus returns. Consequently, the Old Testament ends with the word curse. Look with me. We'll look at the last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi, in chapter 4, verse 6. The Word of God says, And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So we see the Old Testament ends with a curse. Amen? Now, to signify this, Christ was crucified with a crown of thorns. Now, this curse will be lifted when Jesus returns. Let's look at some verses together here. First, in the book of Isaiah with me, the book of Isaiah, in chapter 11, and when we get to Isaiah 11, let's look at verses 6 through 9 together. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The Word of God says this, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And this, my dear listener, is certainly not happening today, is it? But this will happen when the Lord returns the second time to rule and reign on this earth during the millennium for 1,000 years. Now let's look also with me, we want to look at the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans 8, when we get to Romans 8, we want to look at verses 18 to 23. And the Word of God says this, For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they,
but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And then, finally, in Revelation with me, chapter 22, Revelation 22 and verse number 3, the Word of God says this, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." So we see here that our earth, current earth, is under a curse, but that someday, it will be lifted when the Lord returns. Let's turn in that same chapter, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Word of God says this, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, the coats of skin were provided by God as a replacement for the fig aprons that Adam and Eve had made for a covering. Now, the fig aprons were unacceptable because God didn't provide them, and no blood was shed to get them. The animal skins undoubtedly came from a lamb. Let's look at first in Revelation chapter 13 with me. Revelation 13, and we want to look at verse number 8. And we read this, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb," here we are, "slain from the foundation of the world." And then we want to go to Proverbs 27, verse 26, which says, "The lambs are for thy clothing." Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. "And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, Genesis delights in presenting contrast. Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Ishmael, fig leaves and skins. Here, the contrast is between two men, representing saved in lost people. Abel, being a shepherd, pictures Christ and the righteous. Amen. Now, in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, Cain, being a tiller of the ground, pictures Antichrist and the wicked who are of this world. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, the Word of God says this, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Well, that concludes our study today. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue a series of studies on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.